Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, seventh canto, chapter 8, text number 45. 45, right? Please repeat. Sri Siddha Uchu. Yo. No. That's good. Gatim Yoga Siddham Asadur Aharshid Yoga Tapobhalena Nana Darpam Tam Nakair Vidadara Tasmai Tubhyam Pranataha Smo Narasingha Shri Siddha Uchu Yo no Gating Yoga Siddham Masadu Yo no Gating Yoga Siddham Masadu Aharsha Yoga Tapobalena Aharsha Yoga Tapobalena Nana Darabam Tang Nakar Vidadara Nana Darabam Tang Nakar Vidadara Tasmai Tubhyam Pranataksmo Nrisimha Tasmai Tubhyam Pranataksmo Nrisimha Yono Gating Yoga Siddham Asadu Aharsha Yoga Tapobalena Nana Darbang Tang Narakar Vidadada Tasmai Tubhyam Pranataksmo Nrisimha Yano Gating Yoga Siddham Asadu Aharsha Yoga Tapobalena Nana Darabang Tang Naraka Vidadara Tasmai Tubhyam Pranataksmo Nrisimha Ladies. Sri Siddha Uchu Yano Gating Yoga seranga sadu. Tasmai tuvyam panatak svonata singha. Sri sada uchu. Yono gatin yoga sedanga sadhu. Aharsha yoga tapo balena. Nana dharvang dang laraka vidadara. Tasmai tuvyam pranatak svo narasingha. Isada uchu. Yanogatin yoga siranga sadur. Aharsha yoga tapo balena. Nanarvatang tang naraka vidadara. Tasmai tuvyam pranatak svo narasingha. Sri Siddha Uchu. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka said, Yaha, the person who, na, our, gatim, perfection, yoga siddham, achieved by mystic yoga, asadu, most uncivilized and dishonest, aharshit, stole away. Yoga of mysticism. Tapaha and austerities. Balena by the power. Anana darpam, proud due to wealth, opulence and strength. Tam, him. Nakai, by the nails. Vidadara, pierced. Tasmai, onto him. Tubyam, onto you. Pranataha, bowed down. Smaha, we are. Nasringha, O Lord Nrisingadev. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka prayed, O Lord Nrisingadev, because we belong to Siddhaloka, we automatically achieve perfection in all eight kinds of mystic power. Yet Hiranyakashipu was so dishonest that by the strength of his power and austerity, he took away our powers. Thus he became very proud of his mystic strength. Now because this rogue has been killed by your nails, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Please repeat. The inhabitants of Siddhaloka prayed. O Lord Nrisingadev, because we belong to Siddhaloka, we automatically achieve perfection in all eight kinds of mystic yoga. Yet Hiranyakashipu was so dishonest that by the strength of his power and austerity, he took away our powers. Thus he became very proud of his mystic strength. Now, because this rogue has been killed by your nails, we offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Purport. On earth there are many yogis who can exhibit some feeble mystic power by manufacturing pieces of gold like magic. But the inhabitants of the planet Siddhaloka are actually extremely powerful in mysticism. They can fly from one planet to another without airplanes. This is called Lagima Siddhi. They can actually become very light and fly in the sky. By a severe type of austerity, however, Hiranyakashipu excelled all the inhabitants of Siddhaloka and created disturbances for them. The residents of Siddhaloka were also beaten by the powers of Hiranyakashipu. Now that Hiranyakashipu had been killed by the Lord, the inhabitants of Siddhaloka also felt relieved. Om Ajnanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunmanitam Jena Tasmai Sigurave Nama Ugam Guru Divachalam Pangam Langayate Giram Yatkipatam Maham Bande Sigurum Dinatarunum. So we're now hearing a little bit more detail how difficult it was to exist with Hiranyakashipu in charge. Right, just like they have sometimes town hall meetings, right? Everybody from the neighborhood comes and they let out all their grievances. So, of sorts, we're seeing here how after the fact that the Lord so kindly killed Hiranyakashipu and mercifully killed him, that now all of the residents from the different planetary systems and Srila Prabhupada comments that actually we're seeing how verse after verse, it's not that Hiranyakashipu's reign, how it didn't, or how it affected everyone. Everyone was disturbed in all sectors of society. It's just like if you have a tyrant in the country and no one gets away with anything. So, also everyone here is expressing their gratitude to the Lord. Everyone was being harassed. Some couldn't perform their duties, as we read earlier. The rishis were not able to offer their prayers. Now the inhabitants of Siddhaloka, although they have such great strength and power, they have the eight mystic perfections. And actually Prabhupada comments in the Nectar Devotion that there's one German scholar who, after analyzing all of these different yoga siddhis that are offered in the Vedic scriptures, concluded that the scientists have already achieved all of these yogic perfections. And he thought it better and wiser that he would go off, and which he did. He went off to India to discover a devotional service, bhakti yoga. Which helps us to understand that those who are engaged in devotional service, those who are aspiring for devotional service, it's way beyond anything that the mystics can achieve. Right? Again, we're seeing here that even the residents of Siddhaloka, those who have all of these mystic powers, which are eight in number, and there are others, Srila Prabhupada comments in Nectar Devotion again, but there are some powers where one can enter into stone. What is that? Anima. One can become so small that he can enter into a stone. Again, the scientists have already figured that out, right? They take a big drill
and they blow up a rock, why go into the stone? What is the purpose of it? Just put in a stick of dynamite and blow it up. So to become so small that one can enter into a stone, or one can become so light, as is described here, the siddhas of Siddha Loka, perfected beings, are so light that they're able to, even by a ray of sunlight, they're able to transport themselves, right? When the sun comes out, they're able to connect onto that ray of sunshine and go directly to the sun. So again, what is the use? You can spend so many years and lifetimes, for that matter, trying to achieve all of these perfections, but what is the use? Or one can develop prapti, where one has the ability to reach out and grab something from a distant place. Srila Prabhupada describes how the yogis, they can extend their finger and touch the moon. Or, again, acquire something from a distant place. And sometimes we've seen in our recent histories, recent experience at least, different yogis who are able to produce a little bit of gold, as Prabhupada points out here. They produce a little gold ring or some ashes. Prabhupada gives the example of how in his experience there was some yogi who produced a pomegranate, wasn't it? There was some discussion between a sadhu and some followers, and he asked them, what would you like? Oh, well, we would like pomegranates from Afghanistan or something. And so they went into the next room, and there were pomegranates. So, again, what is the purpose? Flying here, flying there, and we can get into a jet, or we can blow up a rock. All this labor, intense labor that the ascetics have to go through in order to acquire all of these cities. Again, it's temporary, right? Just here, as here, Hiranyakashipu, during his reign, it was all null and void. He was so powerful that he was able to defeat all of them. Mm-hmm. They were beaten by the powers of Hiranyakashipu. So whether it's acquiring something from a distant place or entering into a stone, or whether it's flying off as light as a sun ray, or if it's creating some planet. Even there are some traditions that teach that the perfection of life is that afterwards, what is that, Isita, you can go and create your own planet, or you can destroy it. But they're doing that already. They're very expert at creating or destroying the planet. So what is the benefit? There's no benefit. Because again, it's a temporary thing. It's all within the material world. Or whether you can control somebody's mind. Some people want to, some mystics, they're so powerful that they're able to enter into a person and control them for some time, Prabhupada describes. Take all their wealth and then go. We all have practical experience. How sometimes people are disturbed as if by a third party. So sometimes these subtle beings, they may have so many, again, it's all a temporary thing. It may disturb, it may be powerful for some time, but after some time, again, it's all wound up. Or they may even achieve show other tricks. Srila Prabhupada comments again in the Nectar Devotion how some mystics are able to take water within their eyes, right, and shoot it out from their eye. What? Just get a spray bottle and spray somebody in the face if that's what you want to do, is perform a little trick. Or you go to Las Vegas and they have these guys who are they're showing all of these tricks. But it's all a material. And sometimes Prabhupada describes how the ability to fly an airplane is a symptom of mystic power. How they're able to somehow or other get this giant dreamliner up into the sky and have it go somewhere. It's a quality of mysticism. But again, all of these things are they're all temporary, and in due course. It has to be taken away, because that is just the nature of material life. But and here we're also noticing how all of these different personalities, whether they're the siddhas or whether they're the pitas or the vidyadharas or the manavas, the Nagas, they're all praying, and it's interesting how they were praying with some motive. It was mixed, in other words. When they're offering these prayers, at least I noticed that in the last few verses and in some upcoming verses, that all of these great personalities, although they're very powerful, no doubt, and they're very qualified in their own way, all of their prayers are mixed with some kind of motive. And that is revealed later on in the next chapter, when Prahlad, after everyone has given their offering, Prahlad is asked by Lord Brahma to come and offer or finally appease the Lord, because the Lord was still not very peaceful. Even Lakshmi, she didn't want to even go before the Lord. She was so fearful of this form of Nrisingadev. So Prahlad is asked to come up, and of course Prahlad's response is that because he's being asked to by these great personalities, he comes forward. But Prahlad's mentality is that I don't have any sort of qualification. How is it that all of these great personalities who are very famous, who are very wealthy, who are very strong, and who are very attractive, what qualification do I have? I'm coming from some demoniac family. What qualification do I have to offer some prayers? And Srila Prabhupada comments in the purports of his offering that unless one is meek and humble, that progress in spiritual life is very difficult. It's a very important principle that one may get some very prominent position. Just like there's in the previous canto, there's a very nice comment, a very nice prayer by Richasura, actually, where he describes that I may be neglectful of devotional service, and I may be promoted to Dhruva Loka. or I may acquire all sorts of material opulences. But I don't have any interest for any of these things. I don't have any interest in the mystic perfections, or even liberation for that matter. My only interest is to be engaged in your devotional service, which is, again, something that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and actually Prahlad later on, as we'll see, right? Is that Yaidam? What is that? Bhavatastu Vranevaram? What is that verse? Does anyone remember? Sirdas, you remember? Bhavatastu Vranevaram. My only desire is that the material desires within the core of my heart be removed. Bhavavidha? No. Niditam saro bhavadas chuvane varam. So Prahlad's only desire was that some or other that the material desires within the core of his heart be removed, and which is the same mentality exhibited by Vrishasura, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, where he recites his shikshastika prayers, nadana majanana sundarim. The whole mentality, unless, again, the point being that unless one is understanding one's complete dependence upon the personality of Godhead and only wants to be engaged in devotional service, there's no question of being fully satisfied. Even though here, after the Lord's killing of Hiranyakashipu, the Siddhas and so many others are offering their prayers, the Manus, they were concerned about creating progeny, the Nagas, they were concerned about their wealth. Everyone had some mixed motive behind their offering of prayers, but the real offering is that one is totally dependent upon the personality of Godhead and simply wants to engage in his devotional service. Srila Prabhupada also comments later on in the Nectar Devotions, a very nice comment where Srila Prabhupada is talking about the perfections, yogic mystic perfections, and he quotes that verse, etan nirvidyamananam michitam akato bhayam, that the constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the way of success. So, and he comments on this word nirnitam, in that it's already concluded. It's already concluded. Simply by engaging in this chanting process, it's already concluded that one has achieved all of these other benefits or goals. Everything is simply achieved by automatically, simply by developing a taste for this chanting of the holy names. It's therefore it's described as the doubtless and fearless way. There's no doubt. Just like Prahlad, again, he's the prime example. Prahlad was so fearless and doubtless of the Lord's position and existence that even such a great, terrible person as Hiranyakashipu, who had everyone trembling, he was undisturbed by him. So this chanting of the holy name is so powerful that it is satisfying for everyone. Yoginam nirnitam harinamanu kirtanam. That even those who are free from material desires, those who have no material desires, again, it's very similar to that akama sarva kamava, or those who are self-realized by dint of transcendental knowledge, all of this is achieved simply by taking shelter of the holy name. And it's fantastic to hear how someone can walk on water, or they can create anything at as they desire. There's some mystics who can create and annihilate planets, or create anything they want. But what is the use, again? Because it's within the whole material existence, and it all has to come to an end. But it's but by the process of bhakti yoga, one can be freed of all of that and go much further, go to the eternal realm. So it's interesting here how the these different personalities are offering prayers, but Prahlad's prayers are most satisfying to the Lord because of his pure devotion. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Sir Dasprabhu. He was good. He made me laugh too.
Was he advanced spiritually?
No. Sorry. But he certainly makes you laugh. Whether he was laughing or not, he just looking at him, you would laugh. No, he was a very nice man. He was a very nice man. But again, it's not real. Architaru.
Thank you for a very nice presentation, that kind of Prabhu. I'm glad that you quoted this verse, Etan Nirbidimananam Ichitama Katobayam. It seems almost like a change-up. Is it saying actually that you can go back to Godhead, you can reach perfection from the Ichatam platform, the platform of desiring everything? Or do you have to, is it a change-up where you come in wanting everything and then you have to? We skipped over, by the way, we skipped over verse 43, where the sages, the rishis, were saying that human life was meant for austerity, and Hiranyakashipu stopped all the austerities, and so they're glad that he was killed. So it seems that almost again, like it's connected to this verse, that it's a change up. You have to come to this platform of austerities and no desires before you can go back to God. And you can't go from the Ichatam platform, but this verse seems to say, yeah, you can.
It means, well, as Prabhupada translates it, it's a success for all. Whether you're free of desire, whether you're full of desire, whether you're already liberated. The siddhas are, and the tapasvis are certainly liberated personalities, but still, there's a step further. You have to go further. That's as much as I understand. If anyone else has another.
So now I just want to ask you a question about like people with like mystics. Is there like a certain planet that they go to at the time of death, or do they have to take birth due to that desire that they had?
Well, all these different planets that were are these great personalities that we're hearing from here, the Vidyadharas or the Manus, they're all. They all have some sort of mystic powers. Those that live on Siddhaloka, we understand, have the full eight. But those who are on other planets, they have a limited amount. They may be able to levitate themselves, or they may be able to acquire something from a distant place. But those that live in Sitaloka, they have the full complement of the eight cities. Does that answer your question? Yeah, you're having to again take some material body, whether it's a subtler body or a gross body, whether it's a higher planet or a lower planet. Even the lower planets, they also have some mystic powers. But you have to live out those material desires. And you may live longer, and you may gradually promote yourself to a higher and higher planet. And if you're so fortunate to get the association of a devotee, then go to the spiritual world. But otherwise, yeah, you have to come back and live out those desires, one body after another. Again, the body may be longer, it may be 50,000-year body, but again, it's all of that is just it's insignificant when you compare it to the eternality of the spiritual world. What is that story? Can you tell us? Oh yeah, and he asked Prabhupada what he could do. I think well, why don't you go ahead and tell it?
And then after that, you know, the magician will get a coin, will disappear, yeah. A coin here and there, and then Prabhupada, then he said, can you disappear, birth, death, old age, and disease. He says, no. He says, that you can do it.
Yeah.
The pure devotee is more exalted among all these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a really quick comment. Thank you for a wonderful class, Prabhu. Just the other night, I heard a lecture by Prabhupada where he made this really great analogy where he said, if you saw somebody working so hard to build this big house, and you asked him, who are you building this house for, or you know, why are you working so hard? And he told you that, well, I'm just building this house just to burn it down. Then you just think you're such a fool. You think you're such a foolish person, and yet this is what so many people in this world are engaged in doing. They're working so hard. And like Hiranyakashipu, he was performing these austerities for thousands of celestial years, and and then it was all gone, all gone.
It's really foolish. Really foolish. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai.